It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports, The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I am your host, Rick Wolf. Okay, I have a couple of pressing topics to cover this morning, and later on, I do want to talk about the 12-year-old boy over in Newark who collapsed and died at a youth football league practice last week. I mean, that's tragic enough. But then it was revealed that none of the football coaches on hand had any training in CPR, nor was there a defibrillator at the practice. And to me, in this day and age of youth sports, that is simply unacceptable. And again, we'll get into this later on in the hour. But first up, now with the Super Bowl behind us, my thoughts turn to warm and sunny days in Florida and Arizona, and I'm talking, of course, about spring training and how hopes always spring eternal when you're a baseball fan and everything looks so optimistic for your team's chances for the coming season. But remember, Major League Baseball is going to have a different look this year, a very different look in a lot of ways. Lots and lots of new rule changes are going to be implemented during spring training games, help the players and the umpires and the fans become accustomed to these modifications. Now look, we all know that change in life, yeah, it's always hard, and sometimes change is a good thing. Question I have is, with all these new baseball rule changes, are they really going to help the game? More importantly, will they attract more fans, especially younger fans? Or are these changes, are they just designed to basically just speed up the game? So in short, I have lots of questions as Major League Baseball embarks on a bold pathway for the 2023 season. And to help in our conversation this morning, I want to introduce Dom Scala, who, quite frankly, is a baseball lifer. Dom was a star third baseman back in the day at St. John's University. He was drafted in the sixth round by Oakland Athletics, member of the 1978 World Series champion New York Yankees, spent 18 years as the head coach at Adelphi University, who he was named as Northeast 10 Conference Coach of the Year. Dom was inducted into the New York State Baseball Hall of Fame in 2021. And for the last couple of decades, he's been running Dom Scala baseball camps. You can find out more about what he does at DomScalaBaseball.com. In other words, as I said, he's a lifer. And Dom, good morning. Thank you for coming on this morning. I very much appreciate it.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for having me, and I'm a big fan of the show. Thank you.
And then, friends, we'll open the phone lines because this is going to engender some conversation this morning about these changes with baseball. And of course, the phone lines here at WFAN are 877-337-6666. Now, again, I mentioned that the MLB is going to put all these changes in. They're going to do it right in this beginning of spring training when the games get going in a couple of weeks. There's going to be a pitch clock to speed up the game with pitchers. Pitchers are allowed only two throws to first base. Balks will be called more often. No more defensive shifts in the infield. The bases themselves are going to be larger. They've been called, Alex Cora of the Red Sox, that look like pizza boxes. But the idea is to make it shorter distance to steal a base in the hope there'll be more attempts at stolen bases. Major League Baseball is going to keep the ghost runner on second base during extra inning games. Hey, Dom, there's a lot to digest here. And let's face it, we all know it's not going to be long before they start using computerized umpires calling balls and strikes at the big league level. So let's get into this, Dom. I mean, look, you're an old school guy. I am as well when it comes to baseball. I assume these changes are being put in place to make the game more attractive. and also to basically cut down on the time length of these games. I mean, you must that's the idea, right?
Yeah, you know, you said a mouthful there. It's a lot that's going on this year. You know, it's the old adage, the only thing that's constant is change.
Yep.
And, you know, being a college coach for many years, we went through some changes. We had a pitch clock installed, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. The runner at second base, in extra inning games and things like that. And, like everything else, in the beginning, it's a little bit, it's kind of newish, but then, you get used to things. And I think that's what's going to happen with Major League Baseball. It's going to be a trial run in the beginning. There's going to be some things that are going to happen. But in the long run, I think it's going to be something that they're going to get used to. Now, for me, like you just said, I'm kind of old school, but like I said, I had to also implement some new things, some new nuances when I was a college coach. You have to implement the new and the old and kind of get a balance out of it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, Major League Baseball is concerned, this was all done on analytics.
Yes, of course.
when you talk about analytics, it was all done on surveys. Theo Epstein is the guy who was implementing this for Manfred. And he feels that this, by going out there and listening to people and looking at the stats, that this is going to be the best thing to improve the game as far as getting the kids back. There is just so much out there, Rick, for these kids today to do, TV and different types of computerized things, and there's just so much for them, and baseball's competing, for their time.
Now, let me stop you there, because obviously, we know that there's a lot more competition, as you say, for younger kids. But I do think, Tom, that there's a distinction to be drawn. And again, you and I, go back to the days when, are they going to use aluminum baseball bats? That's how can you play baseball with aluminum baseball bats? But that's happened over the years. The DH has been, obviously part of the fabric now. But these changes that we're talking about, which are going to happen, and they're going to be in place by the time spring training games start, and obviously during the regular season. The question I have is, okay, it sounds like what the owners want to do, and again, whether it's analytics, and we realize we're in the day and age of analytics, they just want to shorten the games. Okay, I get it. You can tell a batter, look, once you get in the batter's box, you cannot get out anymore. Don't take time walking around, adjusting your batting gloves, or fooling around with your helmet. Once you're in the batter's box, you're ready to go. Pitchers, you got 15, 20 seconds. Let's go. Let's throw the pitch.
That's going to be a tough situation. Also, hitters, they step out of the box sometimes because they want to think about what the next pitch is going to be. But they're only going to have less than 15 seconds to stay in that box and think about things.
I couldn't agree with you more. What's sort of lost in all this is that when batters take a bit of time on each pitch, they're not just fooling around to basically make sure their batting gloves are okay or still in their hands or whatever. The batters are trying to make mental adjustments on each pitch. Nobody seems to want to say this. It's not just to delay the game. The batters are taking some time to reflect. That was a pretty good pitch the kid guy threw me. He threw me a slider away, or he threw me a fastball inside. That's where the batters are trying to figure out how to make adjustments. But that's going to go by the wayside, or the batter is going to have to make real quick adjustments because the clock is running. Same with the pitchers. In a day and age of full max pitchers, where every pitcher has to throw 95 miles per hour, it needs a little time to sort of, after every pitch, to sort of, catch their breath, reflect, and so on and so forth. But you can't keep, it's hard to be full max pitcher if every few seconds you got to be locked and loaded and ready to go again. That's tough,
No doubt. And like I said, they're also going to get interrupted sometime because, that umpire's got a clock on them. And then if they're at 15 seconds, the umpire is going to stop and look at the clock, And it's going to stop them, and it's going to throw off their mental part of the game also. So, Rick, it's funny. They say, they say all of this is, you know, for the fans because, you know, there's you know, the games are over 3 hours. But I think if you asked five good fans, do you mind the time of the game? I'm going to say that 4.5 of them are going to say they don't mind being out there. They just want to see a good game.
Yes.
You know? And I also believe that the shift part of it, I thought that was a very good idea to keep two people on either side of the bag. You know, but here's another thing that could happen. You might see 5 infielders on the field because you're allowed to do that.
Yes, yes.
And only 2 outfielders.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, Rick? So there's going to be things that are going to be, you're going to be able to combat this particular situation that they had. But I really believe that, you know, most people don't care. Most great fans don't care. Now, I know they're thinking about the kids. You know, this is why they're doing this. They want to get the young. But I'm going to tell you something. As a former college coach, I had my pick out there when I was recruiting. There was a lot of kids still playing baseball.
Right.
I don't buy the fact that there's not enough kids playing baseball. Now, I do understand. We talked about this a little bit. The fields aren't occupied. You know, when you look out and you don't see fields occupied. But I do see that there are a lot of kids still love the game of baseball, and it's because of our generation of fathers that loved the game before that they want their kids to practice and they want their kids to play.
Yeah.
And I do see it in my camps and clinics also because I'm usually sold out all the time, you know? And I enjoy teaching the kids. And my theory is not only to teach the kids, but to teach the kids to love the game of baseball. Because if you don't love something, you're not going to do it.
All right, let me stop you there. We're talking this morning with Dom Scala, served for many years as a longtime head baseball coach at Adelphi. Dom was recently inducted into the New York State Baseball Hall of Fame. But he's touched upon a point here, which is, I think, I really want to get deeper into, because there's a difference between putting in new rule changes and, as Dom just mentioned, you know, a lot of kids still play baseball, but you would think that, I assume Major League Baseball is assuming that these rule changes are going to help to attract younger kids to the game. I'm sort of skeptical of that. I don't know if that's going to have any impact at all on the kids now, because the fact that there's still lots and lots of kids who love playing baseball, the numbers on the TV ratings, the attendance at the stadiums is really just going downhill over the last 15, 20 years. All right, let me take a time out. And yes, friends, I do want to get your calls and opinions about this because I'm eager to hear what you have to say as well. We'll take a break. 877-337-6666.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to the Sports Edge, everyone. My guest this morning is Dom Scala, longtime former head coach of Adelphi University Baseball, the Panthers. And we're talking about these various rule changes that are going to be hitting soon with Major League Baseball. And again, I'm, as I said early on, change is good, but I'm wondering if Major League Baseball expects these changes to attract younger kids to the sport. I'm a little skeptical about that. I mean, one of the things that we got to shorten the game. The game is too long. It's too boring. Well, nobody seems to suggest, for example, that, you know, maybe the ads that run between the half innings, all the commercials, which obviously are done to basically help pay the salaries of the ball players. But if Major League Baseball and the owners said, well, maybe we should just cut back on how much time we spend between innings and spending, you know, that'll, because we did that, then we obviously would shorten the length of the game as well. But nobody's discussing that. Rather, they're talking about, well, we fight before the break. No more defensive shifts. Well, if ball players, the major league level, decided that they want to hit the ball to all fields so they could hit 300, then we wouldn't have any more defensive shifts. But instead, ball players today, they're being groomed in the minors to become power hitters because they know that's where the real money is. The guys who hit lots and lots of home runs are the ones who get the big contracts. But if everybody went back just hitting for, you know, for an average, there's no need for defensive shifts in the first place. The whole thing is, it all seems to me that it begs more discussion about this. I mean, back, and again, you go back to the history books in the 1920s and 30s, a major league game lasted about 2 hours. Why? Because there weren't that many long breaks every half inning for commercials. There weren't that many relief pitchers. So I know these guys know what they're doing, but do they know what they're doing? And you know, Dom, well, look, I promise we'll get to our callers. Let's do that. Let's start our conversation this morning. Let's go to Mike over in Queens. Mike, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning.
Yes,
good
Mike.
Good morning, Rick. Dom.
Yes.
Mike, I told you I'd call in and just to reiterate what you said about, you know, youth sports, and you and I know that I feel like Queens and Long Island still pretty good as far as, you know, kids wanting to go to camp. And I'm actually parked outside ready for my 8:30 baseball clinic here in Long Island. So I do, you know, think that sometimes it's overstated that the kids are not interested in baseball. And Dom, you're a good friend. And I wanted to call in before I go into this baseball clinic right now. So...
Mike
wanted to touch base on it.
Mike,
thank you. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thank you. Let me just jump in here, Mike, and I appreciate your calling in this morning. But I just, nobody loves baseball more than myself. And again, thank you for the call. But I got to tell you, I'm looking at the numbers. The numbers don't lie. If you're into analytics, as that's the name of the game today,
right.
The baseball TV ratings have been going downhill for 20 years. Not so slowly, but a lot. The attendance at games is dropping off by the same amount. So clearly, something's happened in the last 15, 20 years. Not to say that there aren't millions of kids playing baseball out there who love the sport. I get all that. But there are a lot fewer kids than there were 15, 20 years ago who are doing this. You look around, Dom, as you said, when you go driving around the neighborhood, you see kids playing basketball. You've seen kids playing soccer, maybe even some touch football. Baseball games, I'm not so sure I see it anymore. And that's the concern here. So,
well, you know what, Rick? There's validity in everything that you're saying. There's validity in what, you know, Mike was saying. Because when you're down in the trenches like I am with these kids nowadays, you know, you do see the love that they have and the passion
for
the
course,
game. And they're out there in the heat. You know, in the summertime when I'm having my camps and it's 98 degrees, you know, and I'm trying to keep them hydrated and stuff like that. Do you want to take a break? No, we want to keep playing. You know, we hear all that stuff, you know. But that, you know what, like you said, it was validity of what you said about the commercial breaks and all of that. But I really believe you want to get the kids back to the game. There's got to be more offense in the game. I think that people want to see offense. It was evident this year with Judge with the 62 homers going for the 62 home run record. There was more people brought to the ballparks. There was more people brought on TV. I think that people want to see more hitting. And I think that's why MLB is trying to get it right, you know, with the shift. You know, the shift takes away a lot of hits, as you know.
Yep.
We always talked about going up the middle with the ball, Rick, right when we were coaching. Go up the middle, go opposite way when you can, you know. Now you hit the ball up the middle, well not now, but before this, and there was a shortstop playing right
yes,
over the bat.
Yes,
you're out.
I...
Or if you try to pull the ball, there's a guy in the short right field, and you're out, you know, so... This is going to make the game, I believe, the shift rule, which I believe is the most effective one that they talked about, the one I like, you're going to get a lot more hits out of this, a lot more offense.
I do agree, and I've felt the same way for years, that the shift should just ban it because it does get in the way. It keeps guys from getting hits and getting on base, and I couldn't agree more that offense is what's needed in the game. Look, we just saw last year, Dom, you know, how many games were – it's all about home runs, and you see a parade of batters going up, swinging for the fences, and end up with a game where one side is striking out 15 times, the other team striking out 16 times. times it's just boring. There's no offense. And you see the guys, you know, guys, you can see with the shift on, just put a bunt down or go opposite way and you'll get a base hit every time. But the players don't do that. And they do.
You know what, Rick? They're shifting on guys coming up from AAA. You know, these are guys that haven't been in the big leagues, and they're shifting on guys from AAA because they have stats on these guys. For instance, in 2017, there was only 22,000 shifts.
Yeah.
In 2022, there were 60,000 shifts.
Yeah.
That's almost every play.
Exactly.
That shifting on guys.
And it hurts the game, and obviously the analytics guys have told the owners, well, here's how it works. If you want to win ball games and get to the World Series, you got to find guys who are big power hitters, you got to find pitchers who throw over 90 miles an hour, and you got to put defensive shifts. Yeah, and the owners might say, well, it's kind of a boring game now. Yeah, but you're going to win. So that's the trade-off. Look, our time is limited. Let's get back to some more of our calls here. Let's go to Frank in Kings Point this morning. Hey, Frank, good morning. You're next up on the Fan.
Hey, guys, good morning. I just want to say I couldn't disagree more with you guys upon the shift. I mean, it's just an indication that the hitters, they just weren't good enough. You know, while we're at it, why don't we take the blitz away in football, too? That'll generate more touchdowns, too. You know, baseball isn't an offensive sport, okay? Baseball is a pitching. Baseball is dominated by pitching, okay? And if pitching is just better right now, then let the pitcher pitch. I mean, the shift was a tool. The shift was a tool used by the pitchers in the defense, okay? But you guys call yourself purists and stuff. Why don't we just bring the fences in 50 feet if everybody wants more offense?
Let's put this in perspective here. First of all, the shift, there have been shifts going back to the days of Ted Williams. The shift is not a new invention. It's been around for a long time. Number two, the hitters are basically part of this whole situation because they refuse to adjust and hit the ball to all fields to go against the shift because, for whatever reason, they feel that's going to hurt their earning power when it comes to contract time. So the fact is, pitchers come and go. Back in the late 60s, you know, we had great pitchers dominating the game, and they lowered the height of the pitcher's mound. These things do happen, but no, it's not. The reason why we have pitchers dominating name now is because the hitters are all trying to hit homers all the time, and they can't do that. It's as simple as that.
I agree with you, Rick, the pitching is just so much more precise these days with the relievers being a big part of the game, throwing 98, 99, 100 miles an hour.
Yep.
Do you know there was only 36 complete games all last year?
There's no reason for that, you know, because you're going to kill the ball. You want your starter to go 5-6 innings and then have some middle relief guys and hand it over to your closer. So it's all based upon full max pitching. I mean, you take it down a step here, Dom, and you know what I'm talking about. The scouts today, the scouts are all part of this as well, thinking, well, I can't recommend a kid who's a really smart, crafty pitcher who gets who changes speeds and gets batters fooled. The kid already throws 88.
Right.
Because they're going to say, what are we going to do with a guy who throws 88? So the day and age of guys like Greg Maddux, Tommy Glavine, Jimmy Moyer, those guys are gone. They just don't exist anymore because the scouts say.
And I'll tell you this, if those guys were around today with the strike box, they wouldn't be getting those strikes that they got years ago.
But,
you know, because the umpires would have got criticized and they would have got criticized for it.
Yeah. It's just a different world out there today. We know that, and yet I'm not sure this is going to have the. It'll make some discussion for sure with baseball fans early on, but is it going to have any real major impact? Well, maybe it might reduce the game by 10, 15 minutes. Who knows? 20 minutes. But I don't think it's going to have an impact in getting younger kids. Yes, we know there's a hardcore bunch of kids out there all over the country who love baseball and will continue to play the game. But the kids who are in the middle, you know, the second tier of players, this is not going to make them feel more attracted to the game. They're just going to say, well, it's just, you know, it's so what? I don't play baseball. I'm going to do something else in my spare time. And that's...
Yeah, I am sure that, again, with the analytics and the surveys that Major League Baseball took, and whoever they had, I'm sure that a lot of them said about, the games are a little bit too long for my son to comprehend and to stay up at night and stuff like that, you know, because, hey, let's face it, postseason games can go 4 hours with all the commercials like you talked about and everything, and the pitching changes, you know?
It's just... You know, and your point is well taken, and nobody's ever given a good answer for Major League Baseball. I said, well, if you're trying to attract the next generation of young baseball players, why would you start your games at 8 o'clock at night when the kids by that point are yawning and want to go to bed? I mean, the games last till 10, 11 o'clock at night. The kids are asleep by then. It doesn't make any sense. I know there's a lot of money involved, but it doesn't seem to add up if the real ideal here is to sort of make the game attractive to the next generation. We're not seeing that, and I'm not sure these changes, they'll help a little bit. I mean, do we really think that making the bases a few inches bigger, that's really going to get more guys in the major leagues to try and steal bases?
No, I just think that was done for safety at first base. And yes, I think that, I don't know if it's going to attract younger kids, but I think it's going to create a little bit more excitement, Rick, because guys are going to steal more. I think there's going to be more hit and running or moving guys, you know, on pitches and things like that, because you got a little bit better chance. You know, you got 6 inches.
Yes, I know.
You know how that goes, Rick. That 6 inches is a bang bang play at second base, and most of them could be safe by now.
I hear you on that loud and clear, but let's face it, very few major league teams, maybe they have one guy on the roster who is capable of stealing a base, and I don't think they're going to change their protocol to have 3 or 4 guys stealing bases, because I think they're going to sort of stick with us. And
you're right. I mean, right. I'm telling you, the teams that ran last year were nowhere in the hunt. If you look at you know, last year's statistics, you know, the teams that ran a lot, you know, teams like Texas and the A's, they were nowhere in the hunt.
No.
You know, as far as like getting in the playoffs.
To me, the ideal situation, you just mentioned the so-called, I call them the have-not teams, teams don't have the kind of payrolls that the, you know, the Yankees or Mets have. But those are the teams that they can somehow find a way to go back to play old-school baseball, which guys can hit to all fields, for they can hit and run, they can bunt for hits, they can steal bases. That would be exciting to watch. And if those teams actually did well, then you'd see more crowds come back to the games. But that's not – this is heading in the right direction, but it's not going to have the immediate kind of impact that we're looking for. All right, let me get back to some more calls here, because, again, our time is limited. Let's go over to Ed Ward over in Elizabeth in Jersey. Hey, Ed, good morning. You're next up on the Fan.
Good morning. Dom Scala, you may remember me. I used to coach at NJIT with your buddy, Danny Morigello.
Yes, how you doing, guy? How's everything? Good.
Good, Dom. Rick, everything was brought, the points that you're talking about are great, but you want to know one of the reasons why people don't come to the ballpark? They can't afford it.
Well, yes, that's the other thing. Yes, it's expensive to go to a family outing at a ballpark, so.
To park your car, it's $40 now. I mean, if you watch Yankee games at home, look at behind home plate. That area is empty, because I heard those tickets are between $1,500 and $2,000.
Correct.
So there's a big factor there with that. I went to about 12 Somerset Patriot games last year. And you know what was good about it? Yes. Yeah, was the pace better? Yes. Yeah. But you know what it was? It wasn't like they had to rush it to the batter's box, get to the mound. If the game was played, you know, it seems like the way they're talking now, they're going to rush it through everything.
Correct.
And one of the things I want to talk about is this. One of my former players, he's a freshman at Bethany. He had his first game Friday night in college baseball. And he called me after the game. We started talking. He said, Coach, all these umpires are doing is rushing us in the batter's box, and we don't feel comfortable up at the plate.
Correct.
So I don't know why they're trying to rush everything. And again, the big point is, and you both brought it up, It's the commercial. They're too long. They won't let us play. And the thing is, too, why should we go back to the old way? Hopefully you get 7 innings out of the start, so you don't have to bring 90 million different relievers in a game.
You know, Ed, this is what we're looking at, and those concerns you just mentioned, they're not really being addressed by these changes. It's more about, again, the owners are trying to say, well, we want to preserve the revenue stream we have from the TV commercials or radio commercials. On the other hand, the players themselves are saying, why are we doing this? I mean, you know, you're rushing us to play the game, and that's not going to make for good baseball, or for that matter, even safe baseball. It is a huge concern. So we'll see how this plays out, but I think Major League Baseball, they may have some difficulty if these things don't work out well. I mean, then they have to go back and sort of say, well, do we have to retrench this and figure this out? I mean, that's the concern.
I have no pr- Rick and Dom. I have no problem with the clock, but this is what I think they should do. Give the batter a little more extension instead of rushing him. You know, let him get set like Dom was saying. Clear your head. Hey, this guy threw me a fastball. Let the batter get set, and then put the clock on the pitcher. Okay, so this way no one's rushing. They still feel comfortable at the plate. The pitcher knows that he has to throw it in a certain time.
Yeah.
And then you know, you feel like you want to play baseball. Not like, let's get in there and then go to hell home. You know what I mean?
I agree with all of that. I mean, I just think it's so confusing. It's so confusing for the pitcher. And it's confusing for the hitter. Oh, do I get back in now?
Yeah.
Did I not get? Instead of thinking about the pitch that's coming, he's thinking about, oh, I have to get back in this box.
Exactly,
you know,
right.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like, I don't like it. I don't understand it. Like you all said, it's about, you know, the commercials. But that's how they make their money. You know, they give that up.
That's the problem. Hey, Ed, thank you as always for the call. I got to take a break here, but you know, this is the concern here, Dom. It is a professional sport. We know, we understand the bills to pay, whatever, but it isn't like they seem to have thought through all this. I remember, as I say, back in the day, I played the minors against Mike Hargrove. Mike Hargrove literally stepped out of the box between every pitch. And he would tug at his batting gloves, his helmet, and he was known, of course, as a human rain delay because he took so much time to bat. But I got to know Mike many years later. You know, I was working with the Indians. He was the manager. And I used to ask Mike, what were you doing during those so-called long timeouts? He said, Rick, that's when I made my adjustments on the pitchers, because I knew if I had, you know, a few seconds to step out of the batter's box, I could figure out how I was going to change my approach to my stroke and so on and so forth. That's what hitters do. He was obviously a little more extreme about it, but, you know, Mike lasted well over a decade in the big leagues. He hit up close to 300, so it worked for him. But the point is, that won't happen anymore because they're not going to allow Mike Hargrove to play or take the time between every pitch. All right, let me...
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. And you know, today's with the analytics that they have today, these hitters pretty much know what these guys are going to throw in certain counts. They go over all of that stuff before a game.
Of course, you know, of course.
So there's a little bit more. They don't need as much time, but still, you still need to clear your head. You know, you still need to clear your head and say, oh, well, that's even with your swing. Well, maybe that swing wasn't the right swing for that particular pitch. I'll have to adjust my swing. You know,
I mean, there are all sorts of situations, including, for example, you're a batter and the pitcher throws you a high, hard one and you hit the deck. Okay, well, as soon as the catcher catches the ball and I have to get up and dust myself off, the clock is running. Am I going to be ready for the next pitch? Are pitchers going to use that as a weapon? I'm telling you, man, there's a lot of things they haven't figured out yet on how this is going to play out. So
yeah, throwing over to first base. I mean, you know, they're not going to throw over unless they really have to now. That's what I believe. You
yes,
know?
That's exactly right.
Of course, they don't want to get into that situation where I threw over twice. Now this guy's got an advantage to go.
Yeah. All right, let me take a pause. My guest this morning is Dom Scala. We're talking about these new rule changes that are coming down the pike in a week or so with Major League Baseball and how this is going to have a ripple effect, good or bad, in terms of baseball fans and obviously the younger generation. All right, 877-337-6666. When I come back, I'll go right back to the calls. Stay with me. Back here on the Sports Edge, friends, just not the pandemic has hopefully seemingly calmed down. I want to make sure that I'm being invited to do more in-person speaking events. And if you'd like me to come and talk with your community or sports parents at your school or a booster club, whatever, please just go to AskCoachWolf.com on how to contact me for these various speaking events. And, of course, you can always follow me on Twitter at AskCoachWolf. Before we get back to Dom Scala and our discussion this morning about these new baseball rule changes that are going to populate Major League Ball this spring, I got to take a moment to talk about this tragic death of a 12-year-old boy over in Newark who died apparently while playing at a practice for a youth football team. And according to various media reports, Elijah Jordan Brown Garcia, he died after he went to a football practice at Westside Park in Newark with his younger brother last week. And according to the boy's mom, The youngster had no prior health issues as a 12-year-old, and there was no tackling going on at the practice, just kids running drills. But at some point during the practice, Elijah collapsed and was in serious need of medical help. People at the field called 911 several times for help, and an ambulance finally arrived, but it got there 30 to 40 minutes later. But by that point, it was too late. Elijah was pronounced dead at University Hospital, and the family's awaiting for autopsy results. But Elijah's mom said she asked the coach of the team, the Essex County Predators, why no one seemed to know what to do when her son, you know, fell on the field. And the answer was that, well, none of us coaches are CPR certified. Now, since then, the coach has since pledged to get everyone on the coaching staff to get them trained in CPR. But, of course, that's a given. That's hope that would happen. But all that doesn't help a 12-year-old Elijah. So the bigger issue to me is that this is yet another case where having some sort of state or federal oversight of a travel or club team could have made a big, big difference in perhaps saving a 12-year-old's life. I mean, there is no reason why the state law couldn't have been mandated that all travel and club teams, youth teams, need to have the coaches CPR trained and have an AED, a defibrillator, with them at all times, just in case something like this happens. And look, you've heard me say this endlessly on the show. Every state can mandate that public schools have coaches who are CPR trained and that there's an AED nearby at every practice and that coaches and trainers are using the AED and so on. This is basic life-saving stuff. But with those travel and club programs, youth teams that are outside the school district, no such laws exist. In other words, as a parent, you can only hope and pray that your kids' travel or club squad are going to have coaches who are certified in CPR. I mean, that's as simple and as basic as that. And again, there's no guarantee that even with CPR or AED being used that Elijah could have been saved. But without those basics of first aid, well, that poor kid didn't have much of a chance. All right, that's enough from my soapbox, but this is basic fundamental stuff. We have to do better, as simple as that. Okay, Dom, let's get back to some of our calls as our time is fleeting. Let's go to Jack Smithlin over in Jersey. Jack, good morning. You're next up on the Sports Edge.
How are you, Rick?
Good, Jack.
You know, now that you changed your time, I'm now doing lessons at 7 o'clock in the morning, and you know the dog is up every morning. So, plus I was just talking with my last lesson, Mike Rich and his daughter Sarah, all about this show today, and you know we're in agreement on a lot of this stuff. You know, I always said to you, if you want to watch baseball the way it used to be played, watch a girls' softball game. You know, they bunt, they slap, they hit and run, they steal, they move runners, they do what they need to do to score runs. You know, nobody works for runs anymore. Either you hit it over the fence or you don't hit it over the fence.
Yep,
and that's
yep.
that. And I think with what you said, taking all of these particular new rules, I'm an old school person exactly like you, and I told you many times, you and I think so much alike, it's scary. But the point is, when we put a runner at second base in extra innings, I feel like we're cheating. What is that? What are you doing here? You know, to speed up the game, we put a runner. Why not working the runner onto the base and moving them over, you know, and things like that? You know, the DH, you know, in a way, the DH is good in ways, especially at youth sports, because it gives another kid an opportunity to get involved.
Right.
That's great. Yep. But it takes strategy out of baseball. You know, you're up and you're down by one run, and your pitcher gets up at second and third with one out or whatever in the last inning. You put a hitter in for him. Now you don't have to do that. That's ridiculous. So with these rules, Rick, I do say exactly what you're saying. You know, the shift itself, I'm a hitting coach. Supposedly people call me a hitting specialist. I don't know if I'm there, but the point is that teach your kids to hit the other way. You want to take the shift off? Lay down a bunt every once in a while. You know what? So the shift will add, you know, taking the shift away, making sure that there are two guys on each side of second base, that will add to offense. But when you get power pitches throwing against power hittings, it's the most boring thing in the world to watch. Yep. I love to watch a kid. You know, the most exciting play in baseball is an inside-the-park home run. Nothing more exciting than that. You know, so I agree with everything you're saying. It's sad to see what's happening to baseball. The fanatics, they'll sit 6 hours at a game. I'll never turn away. I never left during extra innings to beat the traffic. You know, those are not diehards. And like Ed Ward said, and I agree with him, the money is amazing. You know, $40 to park a car, it's nuts. So the thing that they're doing right now with baseball is taking away from the game. Their kids are not going to be excited. What happens to that kid who's not a power hitter? He might as well go find another sport right now.
That kid's out of luck, right, Dom?
That's why you got to have teachers like yourself and myself and some of the old school guys, because we're still teaching that. But some of the new school teachers, if you go to these indoor facilities nowadays, they have all kind of monitors set up. They have Driveline. They have Rapsodo. You know, they have all different types of mechanisms, and where they're teaching this launch angle stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where the home runs are coming in. If you teach launch angle, you're going to hit the ball. You're going to try to hit the ball over the fence.
But that's
you know what?
Go ahead, Jack.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I studied this in the launch angle, and this is science. This is not Coach Smithlin or Coach Ed Ward or anybody. This is science, okay? When you have a launch angle, there's only one spot on that ball that you have to hit in order to put it over the fence. When you're hitting down through the ball, seriously, there are three spots that you can put the ball in play and get base hits. I'm having every one of my college hitters, and this I've talked to you about this, Rick, every single one of my college hitters is choking up on the bat. You want to put the ball in play more and shorten up the game and not swing at three pitches and miss? Shorten up your bat. I watched you, Rick, and when you went back to baseball at 40-something years old, or however old you were, and you were halfway up the bat, and you batted, what, 480 during those times? Come on. It only adds to the game. Get rid of all these rules. Go back to the way baseball used to be played, and I guarantee you, more kids will be involved. You know, instead of paying $30 million to watch a shortstop not run out of play at first, you know what? Lower their salaries. You get more people in the game. Come on.
Jack.
I love it. Thank you, Rick.
thank you, Jack. And Dom, I certainly agree with Jack. And yeah, baseball is a game that the traditions, the legacies are gone or being lost. Choking up a baseball bat, something I always did. But it's just not there anymore. As you said, all the technology, the equipment, the high-tech stuff, the Rapsodo, spin rates. I mean, yeah, but you still got to hit the ball. You still got to make contact.
And people buy into this stuff. That's the thing. The more equipment they have in these indoor facilities, the better they feel about their kid is learning.
Yeah,
like when we were younger, we didn't have any of this stuff. I look at old pictures of me hitting. I had a little bit of an uppercut swing, depending on where the pitch was. You have a little bit of a launch angle and you swing. It's the only way to get the ball in the air. Now, I'm not saying I had an uppercut swing like a Justin Turner, you know, or somebody like that. But if you had a high pitch and you were hitting it, you, again, had to get to the ball and you were going to hit the bottom of that baseball, and that's what made you lift it.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
so,
of course.
You know, it's kind of like, look at Babe Ruth. If you look at Babe Ruth, he had a launch angle swing back in the day. Right?
Of course.
If you look at his swing. But he wasn't looking at it in a launch angle. He was looking at it on how he could square up the baseball the best way he can.
Yes.
And that's what you need to do.
You have to approach hitting as based upon what your body physique is all about. In other words, if you are
correct,
Ted Williams, and you're 6'4", 200-plus pounds, and you have 20/10 vision, okay, that's pretty unique, and you're left-handed. But other guys who weren't 6'4", guys who were like 5'10", 5'11", guys said, you know what, I'm not going to hit a lot of home runs like a Babe Ruth or a Ted Williams. I want to hit the ball where it's pitched, hit it the opposite way, put the ball into play, learn how to bunt, learn how to hit and run, and that might give me a shot at playing professional baseball. But
that's 100%.
It's all gone now because the scouts are looking for guys who have a big uppercut swing, who can hit the ball occasionally a long way. I mean, I mean, it's just mind-boggling to me how baseball has sort of gone so overboard. And maybe, you know, baseball will go back, you know, back and forth, up and down. But it's just so bizarre how this all plays out, Dom. I don't know how this is going to have an impact. We'll see some discussion. I think what's going to take place is, unfortunately, we're going to see a lot of umpires calling timeout to discuss with their crew. Like, okay, what do I do here in this play? Is that the right interpretation? What's the right ruling here? I mean, there's going to be a lot more of this nonsense of umpires talking because they don't know the rule interpretations either, because it's all, you know, uncharted territory, and that's not good. So I don't know how this is going to play out, but... And you make a case, perhaps, that this Major League Baseball is aware they have to do something, but I don't know how this is going to translate into more fannies in the seats or more kids at home watching a TV. I just don't see this. And I don't know.
I think there's going to be a lot of frustration in the beginning, you know, with not only the umpires, but the players and the managers, you know, like they're going to throw their hands up. What's going on here? We're ruining the rhythm of the game here, you know what I mean? There's got to be a rhythm in the game in order to succeed.
I mean, if pitchers learned how to throw strikes and threw them as soon as the ball comes back from the catcher and they're ready to go and the batter is ready to go, yeah, the game will get speeded up. But the fact is most pitchers – and, Dom, you know this. You know, how many times you play behind a pitcher who would take his time between every pitch? Like, there was, like, you know, especially if it's cold and it's overcast and it's raining.
Oh, no doubt.
You
no
go
doubt.
Nuts. You say, come on, let's go. But maybe that'll help speed up some of these pitchers. But I'm telling you, I just don't know how this is going to play out, and I don't know if this is going to have the kind of positive impact that we all want Major League Baseball to have. But, again, at least they're trying. I'll give them that. So
I think that the intention is good. Whether it works or not, it remains to be seen, as you said. But I'm curious to see in these first few games, you know, with the big clocks on the side and everything. When it gets to 15, do you just stop it if he's almost in his motion? You know what I mean? And you point to your clock and whatever the penalty is going to be, you know, as far as like. But I think it's going to just – I think it's something that – because when we did it in college, if it's moving along, if a guy is like 1 second over or something like that, you're not going to bother him. But if he's 5 seconds over, then you're going to have to talk to him and give him a warning about it.
Yeah,
you know?
But I, you know, there aren't going to be any warnings. They're going to say that's you're going to get charged a strike or whatever, or charge a ball. But it's just so screwy. And of course, the whole beauty of baseball from day one is this is the one of the few sports that doesn't have a clock attached to it. Well, that's
correct.
Going to change. That's going to change.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
I tell you, Dom, it's amazing. If you had come to me, you know, 20, 30 years ago about changes in baseball this drastic, I would never have believed it. But we'll see. Anyhow,
agreed.
Dom Scala, I thank you so much for coming on this morning. Friends, find out more about Dom and his background in baseball and his camps at domscalabaseball.com. He runs a lot of camps in this area, and obviously he gets great, great accolades for it. Okay. Thank you again, Dom.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks, of course, to the Zoom man, Ed, our Zoomin' this morning. That's all the time I have. Pete Hoffman is up next here on The Fan. I'll see you next Sunday, 8 a.m., right here on The Sports Edge.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.